Yesterday morning, I had the pleasure of joining Steph Dunn, our young adult minister and our junior high youth minister, for a day-long retreat that she was hosting for our young adult 2030s group. And the theme of the retreat was connection. And they began with a series of questions that she asked us, like, what keeps you from connecting from people and focusing on what's in front of you? And some said the number one was our phones. Others said it was maybe the work that they were doing that kept them away from connecting with people. And then there was others who said that it was kind of thinking about the next task that needed to be done that kind of got in the way of connecting and focusing on what's in front of us. Well, then she asked, she said, well, what's on your mind right now that you're thinking about that may be distracting you? Well, I knew exactly what it was for me. It was working on this homily. And then she asked, what are the times when you felt the most connected to God and the times when you felt disconnected? Which was a really great question. And so I thought about that for myself. I think the times that I feel the most connected to God is in music and prayer. And the times when I felt most disconnected from God was probably when I was 15 and my father died. I just remember feeling lost and feeling abandoned and really just feeling disconnected. But these are really great questions that Steph asked us, because the truth is that we're always thinking about connection. Does God want to connect with me? How do I develop a deeper connection with God? Right? Because how do I connect with other people? Because we all know that we need connection, amen? And so Jesus helps us in this story to know that whether we feel connected or disconnected, the truth is that God never disconnects from us. In fact, God connects with us along our journey when we least expect it. As we will find out in this gospel story today about Jesus and Zacchaeus and his connection. So Jesus' intention is to pass through Jericho. Towards Jerusalem, he's on his way to celebrate the Passover. But somehow the news that he's coming travels and it gets around, which happens in a small town. And so Zacchaeus, who was a Jew and a chief tax collector, who was very rich and was despised by his community, was there in Jericho. Now he had a nickname and a label that he was given. They referred to Zacchaeus as the publican. It is a way for those in his community to distance themselves from him. It simply means tax collector. But you know, that was really no different than kind of how we can get caught up in that. Similar to the ways that we can use our political affiliations to distance ourselves from one another. As if being a Democrat or Republican is all that we are, and sometimes it takes away and has us forget our own humanity with each other. And so they were caught in that. Not realizing that we're all children of God and that God is charging all of us, right, to provide for the least and the lost and the vulnerable and the oppressed among us. And so Zacchaeus had lost his way. His community didn't acknowledge or claim him because he had taken the worst job in the world in their eyes, working for the Roman Empire that had occupied their lands as a tax collector. And see, collecting taxes for Rome meant that you signed on to getting rich off the backs of your own people. So as a tax collector, Zacchaeus, he knew his community. He knew who had wealth, who had resources, and who didn't. See, Rome didn't know that, and so they relied on insiders like Zacchaeus to work for them. And so these tax collectors would report to Rome who had property and possessions, who that was worth taxing. And for their snitching, they were allowed to add additional money on top of what the people owed to line their pockets. They were even known for taking bribes. And so tax collectors like Zacchaeus made out like a bandit. And so he was very rich, but he built his wealth on self-enrichment, corruption, and exploitation. And so this corrupt tax collector, Zacchaeus, hears about Jesus coming through Jericho. And he wants to see who Jesus is. And so he leaves his tax booth and he decides that he is not going to miss this opportunity of a lifetime. In fact, the reality that he even shows up tells us something about how Zacchaeus is struggling in his own heart with what he's doing. Maybe he heard about another tax collector, Matthew, who had become a disciple of Jesus. Maybe he was curious about how one even gets up the courage or the humility to walk away from a bad career choice or to begin to challenge one's own consciousness around how he or she is building wealth. He heard about Jesus, his reputation for taking those who were just entrapped in life, either by their own doing or by systems of oppression, domination, and injustice that they were participating in. But through their connection with Jesus, were able to find change, compassion, grace, forgiveness, healing, liberation, and restoration. And so here we have in this gospel, Jesus arrives. He's coming. And the people of faith have lined the streets. Zacchaeus, we are told, could not see over the crowd because he was so short. And so he decided instead to climb the sycamore tree and perch himself right there. Now I ask myself, why does the writer give us that detail about his height? But I think it's because being short in stature had a symbolic meaning of being short-sighted, impacting his ability to see what he needed to see about himself, his own worth, and to see what he needed to see in his own community. Zacchaeus has a blind spot. We have blind spots too, just like Zacchaeus. We all have struggled in our own lives to see what needs changing. His blind spot kept him in this system of domination and injustice and privilege and exploitation and separated him from his community. And so he gets up in this sycamore tree to get a different view, a different perspective, to see Jesus. I spoke to a woman recently who was struggling with addiction, and she said to me, it was my decision to participate in the work of recovery that helped me to finally see a different view of my life. I encountered a God that loved me and didn't judge me. I found a community that supported me until I could see more in myself than I ever could. For her, that place of new perspective was in recovery. So the question is, where is that place for you? Where do you go to gain new perspective? Where do you go to go outside of your comfort zone? For Zacchaeus, it was in that tree. Last week, I attended the end of a book discussion led by one of our parishioners, Bob Baker, a book written by Michael Eric Dyson called The Tears We Cannot Cry. And one of the participants told me, he said, I've been trying to add more diversity in my life and learn about other religions, get outside my comfort zone. He said, so one morning we decided to go, me and a small group of friends, to a black church. He said, I was so worried about what to wear and how to act and whether I would fit in. You know, I'm just a white guy. You know, he said, but I pushed past my discomfort. And he pushed past his anxiety. He said, I just decided to just go. And he told me, he said, what an amazing time we had. The people welcomed us. We had great conversations. We made some real authentic connections. And he said, I gained a new appreciation and perspective of the black church. And besides, just made some great friends. And so Jesus here finally arrives. And he says he spots Zacchaeus in the sycamore tree, covered through those leaves. And he looks up, and he calls him by name. He says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. Well, then all of a sudden, the cheering for Jesus stops. The crowd is not happy. They are not ready to give him a chance to let go of his past and the judgments that were burning inside of them for him. They could only see him for what he was and not for what he could be after an encounter with Jesus. All the people saw this, and the scripture says that they muttered. They moaned and they grumbled and they complained. He's gonna go and be the guest of a sinner? Really? They couldn't believe it. Jesus is gonna go hang out with him? But you see, Zacchaeus' story isn't very different from our own. This wasn't the first time that people of faith muttered and groaned at those in the sycamore tree, thinking that they are not deserving of God's generous love and kindness. To have God's love and attention available to them, it's not the first time. Religion over time has put every group that we know in that sycamore tree, viewing them like these people of faith were viewing Zacchaeus. We've put First Nation people in the sycamore tree, people of color, women, LGBTQ members within our communities, and immigrants. In every generation, we have groaned about who is worthy and who should stay in that tree. But the wonderful thing about Jesus is that he continues to extend that invitation to those who seek him to come out of that tree. Come on out and let's share a meal together. One of our parishioners, Barb Simmons, said to me, she said, sometimes it takes a tree climbing moment to wake up to this truth. But the invitation to come down is always there. And that's what Jesus does. He says, Zacchaeus, come on, let's commune together. Let's connect. Jesus never asked the people, though, for permission. He didn't ask one of them what they thought. They actually didn't get to weigh in. They wanted Jesus to chastise him, and they were shocked that he didn't. Instead, Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I must stay at your house tonight. He restores his dignity. He wipes away the judgments, and Zacchaeus is shocked, and he is overjoyed. He never expected this. The truth is that we're all sinners like Zacchaeus, saved by grace. Amen? He was no different from them. What do you do when Jesus doesn't chastise your enemy or take sides when you want him to? When he doesn't choose to humiliate your opponent? See, Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was just as much a victim of the system as the people who were judging him. Jesus doesn't have a binary of us versus them. His focus is not on punishment, rejection, exclusion, or humiliation, but saving the lost. He steps into this arena of shame that Zacchaeus was drowning in, and he carries it with him. He carries it for him, and then he finds himself, both of them, now with a crowd disgusted with him, and they're in the same boat. Now, you may remember a man named Darryl Davis. He was a black jazz musician who became famous for spending time befriending Ku Klux Klan members for 30 years, and he was credited for inspiring them to give up their Klan membership and their robes after agreeing to sit down over several meals and conversations. And they would talk about their hatred and their distorted beliefs about black people who they historically raped, lynched, and tortured. To date, Darryl Davis's method of conversion over a meal has allowed him to collect 200 Klansmen robes for those who have walked away from the organization as a result of their connection. But what you don't know is that in 2017, he drove to Charlottesville to meet with another Klansman. And he was an imperial wizard. And he met with him outside of a courtroom where a white supremacist and fellow Klansman who was being charged with shooting a gun in the air at the Unite the Right rally that was in Charlottesville. And while they were talking, a white protester who was there in support of people of color began screaming expletives at the Klansman. And he was wearing his Confederate hat. Her anger began to rise, and she assumed that he was trying to apologize to Darryl for racism and attempting to rewrite history. And Daryl approached the woman to try to explain why he was talking to him. But she didn't want to hear it. Instead, she continued to scream at Daryl, and she said, "Just get out of Charlottesville. And I don't know why, as a person of color, you're even talking to him." And as the emotions began to run high, lots of pain and fear, understandably, again, he tried to explain. And he said to her, he said, "That's right, I'm a person of color, but I'm also an American. And so is this man right here." And suddenly he realized that he was caught in defending an imperial wizard of the KKK. He said, "I wanted to tell her about my work, the robes, to show how my attempts at connection had produced conversion." He said, "But it failed." So he just continued to the courthouse with the Klansman. He sat with him through the trial, continued to talk with him at the jeers of the people around them. Before long, they were in the same boat. He had risked his reputation. He looked and given the appearance of betrayal. And after spending 2 hours with this imperial wizard in the courtroom, he found himself derided, screamed at, rejected, hated for cajoling with the enemy of the people. But all was not lost. At the end of the evening, when he arrived home, he got a surprise phone call. It was the imperial wizard calling him, and he said, "I just wanted to call you to make sure you made it home safe." He said, "This is the first time in my life that I've ever witnessed a black man standing up for me against protesters." And Daryl said it was a caring call, and he thought to himself, "Perhaps the seeds are beginning to sprout." And I think that's what Jesus does for Zacchaeus in this gospel, because the next line tells us that something powerful happens at this invitation that Jesus gives him to come down. For Zacchaeus and Jesus to share a meal together, something powerful happened. Just as something powerful happens every week when we share a meal together at this table with Jesus. Zacchaeus' heart was changed. He stood up and he said, "Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." Now, the law only required that he pay back 2 times the amount. He doubled it. Inspired by Jesus, his love, his forgiveness, Zacchaeus offers a blow to the systems of domination and exploitation that he was a part of. He not only repents, but he offers reparations. He decides to right the wrongs within his social community that he caused. This gospel helps us to explore today and discover that he doesn't just become a good person, but he makes a decision to stop shaping, maintaining, enforcing, and benefiting from socially sinful systems to heal his community. What an amazing story. And Jesus then says to him, "Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house." And then he tells the crowd, "Because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Humanity came to seek and to save that which is lost." This is Zacchaeus' prodigal son story. Jesus restores his humanity as a son of Abraham, and then he redefines what it means to be saved. Salvation here is social salvation. It's not personal salvation that's only concerned with heaven and hell. His actions restore a whole community, bringing with it justice and healing. James Baldwin once had a great quote. He said, "Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can change unless it is faced." And so Jesus' love and forgiveness in this gospel helps Zacchaeus to face the changes he needed and to change the world around him. And it will help us too. And just think, all of this happened and began with a connection with Jesus a connection with his own heart, and a connection with his community.